Falcons radio analyst, Mr. Dave Archer, also former Falcons quarterback. So we'll get into that conversation here in a little bit. How's it going, man? How's the drive up?
Dude, it was the drive was slow. There's a lot of people on the route that I come from Marietta. So,
right, yeah.
You know, you're over that direction anyway. So it's about an hour and 15. For some reason, there was a couple of people who had to plow in the ground, and I didn't get around them. So it took me a while to get out here. I gotta tell you, you cracked me up a couple times today. I cannot get the vision of Fievel Goes West out of my head with Paul Morgan. If you want to see Bo Morgan and you put him in a hat,
yep.
Fievel Goes West is pretty accurate.
Spot on, right? I don't agree with that. I think that's your
money.
First bad take of the season. Didn't take long.
It's like from Tommy Boy. I got a tiny head. Yeah, you do have a tiny head. That's no question about
man,
it.
That's funny.
That was classic. And then when you said spew. that's pretty much all you do is spew stuff. So.
Well, you know, I learned from some people I used to work with about spewing misinformation.
Yeah, that's true.
Arch, I guess let's start off this conversation. I want to talk. We were just talking a minute ago. You already, you know, talking trash to me about. I was going down the schedule for the Michigan Wolverines from a couple years ago at training camp. But you're an old head. I heed to you on this kind of thing. I know that just through conversations with guys like you. How bad things must have been back in training camp. The way you're telling it, though, during the break, I'm picturing the movie The Junction Boys with Bear Bryant at Texas A&M. What was y'all's schedule like? Because obviously it was a lot worse than mine, but mine was a lot worse than the guys that have it right now.
Yeah, and first of all, there's times, and Mike ran through the schedule there, and there's a lift in the morning, a lift in the afternoon. Now, everybody's not doing that. There's a position group or two that are doing the morning lift, then there's a position group or two that are doing the afternoon lift. So you got that downtime. If I lifted in the morning, I'm not lifting again in the afternoon.
Right, 2 days.
You know? So you got
2 days in the lift.
So, and a lot of us weren't invited to the – well, I got kicked out of the special teams meetings for reasons that we probably don't need to go into now. But you don't have to go – not everybody's going to special teams meetings.
Right.
You know, so there's down – so there is some downtime in there. But the thing that's lost now, we get the walk. We're smarter now than we used to be.
Yes.
We know how to treat the player. The players are coming in much better shape than they did, you know, 40 years ago, 35 years ago. So training camp was actually that. You came in to get some of these fat-ass guys in shape, right? They don't have to do that. These guys come in because they know their job's on the line. If they're not ready to go, they're not going to be here for very long. It's a short window to make the football team. And so – but – the thing that's left out that nobody really knows about, and the fans are thousands of fans are going to come out here today. I know it's sold out over the next 3 days. Go to AtlantaFalcons.com. The tickets are free. Get your ticket. Come to one of the open practices.
Yep.
But I think the next three are sold out. Two-a-days are a lost scenario now. The NFLPA negotiated that out with the owners. But we had two-a-days. We had a 9 o'clock practice, and we had a 2 o'clock practice. You can imagine what a 2 o'clock practice was like in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, we were in Suwannee. You'd lose 8 pounds of water weight in the morning. You'd try to recoup during lunch, and then you'd lose another 9 or 10 pounds in the afternoon. Scott Case, who was a great player here on the all-time great Falcons, should be one of those guys they consider for the Falcons Ring of Honor, still holds the record for most interceptions in a season with 10. He came into camp at a trim, lean, fighting 187 to play safety corner. By 2 days into camp, 3 days into camp, he weighed 169 and was packed in ice with IVs in both arms.
Yeah.
The two-a-days were brutal. We had 15 straight two-a-days my rookie year in full pads to start the – we didn't have any of this – acclimation period where you go out and you walk through and
you guys weren't wearing GPS trackers back then, Arch? What are you talking about?
No, they didn't have that little sports belt they put on.
The Brozier, we call it.
So, and again, that's old school, and the league's much smarter, and the people that do train these guys are much smarter than they used to be.
Yeah. Well, I have a quick question from someone on Twitter. I don't want to leave our listeners in the lurch, and we had a late wake-up call question come in. I asked Mike it off-air, but Kirby's mailman wanted to know, and he says it's random, but I think all questions are important. Do you start day one of camp in new cleats, or do you have ones that are already broken in?
There's no doubt for me you never start day one in new cleats. Absolutely not. A complete no-no. And one of the beautiful things that Arch obviously didn't get a chance to do, you would always wear your cleats to the walkthroughs first. That was what we always did. You always wanted to get 3 walkthroughs in cleats before you even thought about wearing them into a drill, or else you were in a bad situation.
I'd never even heard of a walkthrough.
So yeah, exactly.
Start covering the game. Walkthrough. We had every day there was a full goal line period, full live goal line period. You talk about guys diving over the top, hitting each other, and all that kind of stuff. Again, little bit smarter now than we used to be. But you got to have worn cleats, Al. You don't come with cleats. Or are you going to get the story that Mike told about his rookie year when he had blisters all over his feet?
And then was too afraid to ask for help with them.
Yeah, man.
As a rookie, you don't ask for anything.
Exactly.
No, you keep your head down. You hope that nobody of any importance from an administrative standpoint look at you, because if they look at you, the next thing could be coming out of their mouth is when you're going to need your playbook, you need to go through the coach. So you keep your head down. One of the coolest things that ever happened to me was after the third preseason game, my rookie year, we beat Tampa, ironically enough, in a preseason game, and I played pretty well in the game. Played about a quarter, maybe a series after that, and I threw a touchdown pass. We moved the ball. And I was in the hallway, and again, I'm keeping my head down. And Coach Henning, who was the head coach at the time, came by and just touched me on the sleeve and said, "Hey, have you found a place to live yet?"
Yeah.
When I heard him say that, I went and ran to the phone. I'm calling people and all.
Yes.
And remember, you didn't have cell phones, so I had to go find a place to make a phone call, call my dad and stuff like that.
He was in a phone booth outside of a 7-Eleven.
That's exactly right.
I'll never forget. Just a quick point: Mike Smith stepped in the elevator with me in my first training camp, and he goes, "Hey, how's it going, Joe?" And somebody goes, "You didn't want to correct him?" I was like, "Nah, I'm fine if he doesn't know my name. That's, you know what? If he knows my name, that means it's probably going a bad direction.
I'm Joe from now on, baby.
Let's go on, Joe.
I can be Joe.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's how I treat Falcons road trips. I just keep my head down and don't want anyone to see me, because then I might get, you know, "Hey, why is this guy here? Get him out of here."
Driftwood.
Well, they don't see you anyway, because you got to sit on a case of beer to actually see the movie on the anyway.
All right, Mike asked me a question, or I don't think he asked me. We was talking about, we're talking about Caden Ellis and his third year here, and kind of the things that he does and doesn't do. And he asked me, or said to me, "Do you think Jalen Walker will kind of be cross training at Caden Ellis's position because of the unique skill set that Jalen Walker has?" I tend to believe not, based on what they have said on how they want to use Jalen Walker as an edge, but I hope that they do. Do you think that's something that you'll see Jalen Walker doing, is kind of, you know, we know he knows how to come off the edge, or are they just going to stick him over there, him and James Pierce and Leonard Floyd, and say, "Learn this first during training camp"?
Well, certainly early on, what he's going to do is he's going to play the edge, because Mike will tell you there's nuances to playing the edge, whether you're keeping outside shoulder free, leveraging, or you're wrong shouldering things to try to spill stuff. There's all sorts of stuff that you have to learn to play the edge against the run, let alone rush the passer, and work on your skill set. Because Jalen Walker was an athletic, dynamic guy off the edge. I'm not sure where his repertoire is as far as different kinds of moves, because speed is great. But these offensive tackles, Mike played in this league, these offensive tackles will get the speed thing down. They say, "All I see on tape is this guy's speed rushing. I can set to that, and he won't even be a problem during the game." So he's gonna. So how much is he gonna be able to work on his repertoire? The only way you do that is to keep him in one spot. I do think that as you ebb into the season, and you get further into the season, Jalen Walker will become a guy that's and he'll do it naturally anyway, Mike.
Yeah.
I know you did it. You played every offensive line position you could. You're gonna watch other guys. When I'm not taking a rep, I'm taking mental reps, and I may not be watching the edge guy. He may be watching what Caden Ellis is doing on the inside, because that's what he did at Georgia.
Yep.
So he's going to do it naturally himself, but I think you'll eventually see him do a lot of that stuff.
Well, we are talking with Dave Archer out at Falcons training camp, former QB, now turned analyst as a quarterback. What do you think the differences are for Michael Penix in year two versus his rookie year, which you're just saying, head down rookie year? So what's this year going to be like for him?
Well, a lot of it is what you guys talked about. Mike went into it about how you feel as a rookie when you come in. Now, he couldn't have to keep his head down because he's a first-round draft pick. He could walk around, you know, and do whatever he wanted to do. But still, there's anxieties that are attached to things that you don't know. What, you know, where are the meeting rooms? And, when, you know, how early do I need to leave my locker to get there in time? And can I get treatment in before I get over there? All those kind of things, all that stuff is gone now. That's relaxed out of his mind. When we get to practice, what's the practice schedule look like? I know it said on the paper, when I looked at the paper, okay, throw into the target, we're going to move the court. What does that mean? He knows what all that stuff is now. So all those anxieties that go with not knowing what's going on are gone. As far as his ability to prep, I'm very impressed with Michael Penix in his poise. Remember, this isn't like a first-year guy. This is a guy who played 6 years of college football. He went through a lot of adversity with injuries at Indiana, played extremely well at Washington, I thought when he got his chance to play, he was ready. I didn't think there was a scenario. And, Mike, I don't know if you and I talked a little bit about this. I didn't think it looked like it was too big for him when he played. It didn't look like he was, oh, here's a rookie quarterback stepping in. I thought that he rolled right into it pretty easily.
I think one of the things, one of my biggest takeaways from his three-game stretch is I thought, and you see this from rookie quarterbacks a lot of times, Arch, that they'll take off and run. And he has, you know, he has some athleticism in his background. He didn't at all. Like, I don't, maybe he scrambled one time in that three-game stretch and maybe got, you know, 3 or 4 yards rushing in that. I thought at some point, hey, his eyes will come down to the pass rush. But he was able to step into things and step into that pocket and deliver some big-time throws. At no point did he look overwhelmed last year in that three-game stretch.
Yeah, and I think the piece, Allie, that he's going to work on, it will be his consistency with his footwork. Mike talked a little bit about where he sets and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not as worried about him offsetting and maybe setting behind the guard when he's supposed to be behind the center or whatever. Is he drifting a little bit? What I'll be concerned about is his depth of his drops and meshing with the depth of the receiver routes. Because when you got quick routes, 6-yard routes, it's a 3-step drop. I know this is kind of layman for the fan, but if I've got a 12-yard speed out, that's going to be a 5-step plant and throw. Or if I've got a curl route that might push to 14, I'm going to go 5 steps when I'm going to hitch and throw. And my hitch can't be as big a hitch as I would take on a 7-step drop because I don't have as much room. So those are the kind of things that he's going to be concentrating on to mesh up with the timing of his receivers. Because I got Drake London, who's got long strides. It might take him a certain – and there's body language you begin to read with receivers. You see hints at the top of routes where they stick in the ground and go. Billy Whiteshoes Johnson was a guy for me. I read Billy like a roadmap. You knew exactly when he was coming out, and I could let it go early with air or early and put it on him. Whereas some guys are a little bit less ability to read the top of them, so I need to learn their idiosyncrasies about how they run their routes.
Hey, RJ, we're late, but I don't care.
I was thinking the same thing. I could do this all day.
It's training camp first day. I'm talking to Dave Archer, Mike. Come on. I mean, you know, this is what it's about. We've got a couple of battles in the secondary that it's kind of – with as much excitement in the front seven we have now, we maybe have forgotten a little bit that we have a safety battle and we have a nickel corner battle that is going to go out and go on during training camp. Name a couple of guys that we really should be looking at in those battles who's going to be going head-to-head.
Well, in the nickel position, you drafted Billy Bowman, and that's what Billy played at Oklahoma. And so I think he's going to have a real opportunity to maybe unseed D. Alford at that spot. Don't forget about Clark Phillips, and don't forget about Natron Brooks. I think he came on late in the year as well.
Great preseason last year.
Yeah, a scrappy dude that really didn't get his opportunity until late in the year. And when he played, it seemed like he was in on plays. So I think he's a guy that comes back with some of that, you know, some of what we were talking about, Allie, he's more relaxed. He knows what to expect. He knows what's expected of him. So I think those guys will be in that mix maybe for the nickel spot. You can also carry Clark and Natron outside to the corner spot where Mike Hughes is going to play. Don't forget about Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a 3-time All-Big 12 defender at the corner spot for Kansas, has 13 career interceptions. He was projected as a 4th, 5th-round draft pick and didn't get picked. Think about the chip that's on that kid's shoulder when he shows up.
A product of Evergreen, Alabama, Kobe Bryant. I mean,
good call.
Man.
Dave, we could talk to you for hours. You're just a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us
today. I lean on Mike. Mike tells me everything.
All right, man. This guy's my idol.
I can assure you this. Bo tells me nothing.
I'll tell you things. It's not about football or accurately.
I'm going to get out of here so you can start spewing again.
That is Dave Archer, former QB for the Atlanta Falcons, now turned to analyst.